Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the midweek rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, it is brilliant indeed. This is Triple M Footy's midweek rub. It's exclusive to the listener app, as always. And as always, we have the same crew on a Wednesday afternoon. We have Daisy, Damo, Duck, and everyone seems to be up and about this afternoon. Welcome, boys.
Yeah, g'day, Joey. G'day, gentlemen. We're up and about because we're out of lockdown. It's not a puzzle.
That does make sense. I forgot about that.
And Joey, as we speak, we've just won a sixth gold medal in the Olympics.
We did. We had to delay our start to this podcast because Rabsy was keen. He said, no, we're not starting until Ariane Titmus wins another gold medal. Mm-hmm. So we've just watched her do that. So that was nice. And Daisy, you were loving it.
I was loving it. It's a good, it's really good, isn't it, having the Olympics on, a bit like the Tour de France. Always something to turn over and watch with some excitement. And obviously, when the Aussies are doing well, I think we just all love the swimming because we know we're a red-hot chance in every event.
we get some medals.
We've had three medals already this morning as we go to air. We've had two in the rowing and now around Titmus. So it's been a nice day for the Aussies.
It really has. And I tell you what's unusual about this lockdown, though, Damo, we can all catch up. We can actually go for dinner tonight if we want and have a glass of red or a beer together, but you can't come to my house.
No, don't start. Don't start on that, Duck.
You can't come over there, but I can meet you there.
And, Duck, I sense you do have plans because we've become accustomed to when we see your mate Potsy, who's your bag man and your driver. I saw him in the corridors about 20 minutes ago. What have you got planned for the rest of the day?
No, I've got a meeting. I've got a couple of Zooms. Which is why I'm in
this. Why does Potsy need to be driving you around,
Duck? I can just take this off and you can just get the black t-shirt underneath. But I have to get home and clean myself up.
For a meeting, Zoom meeting, of course you do. Hey, let's while we've got the Olympic theme going, Daisy, we'll get straight into your hero of the round.
Yeah, give it to me, Rach. Hero, I can be your hero,
baby. We can be heroes. Daisy's hero of the round.
Yeah, the footy can get stuff for this week. It's all about the Olympics and especially in the 100-metre backstroke, McEwen. How good was she? Beat the Canadian, just absolutely turned it on and, well, had all the family and friends back home in Noosa watching it, I'm pretty sure it was, and got asked the question, would you like to send a message back to the good folk of Noosa and how pumped are you? And what is live on air? This is what happened.
Your mum Sharon and your big sister Taylor are there watching. It's been such a difficult time for your whole family.
Yeah.
What would you like to say to your mum and your sister for now?
Yeah.
Just genuinely up and about so much so that she dropped the magic and then followed it up with the S-bomb. Yes. So that was brilliant. But the hero of the week, Ariane Titmus, who we just saw win the 200, obviously won the 400 earlier in the week. Fantastic swim. But overshadowed by her coach, Dean Boxall, who, when she won, just went absolutely bunter up in the crowds. And just a good reminder that if you ever want someone in your corner and you win something, that's how you want them to react. Have a listen to how the Yanks called it.
Sort of like Doc Brown. I mean, it's going crazy. Oh, my goodness. He's like putting on a show.
Yeah, he certainly was putting on a show. I'm not sure if anyone threw some money at him, but he was thrusting at anything that was in sight. It was absolutely brilliant. So the Olympics and Dean Boxall is the hero of the week.
Very good, Daisy. Hey, let's chat footy after this, Damo, because there's plenty of footy news, including the no crowd scenario in Victoria. Where will the grand final be played? I know Duck is all over that.
Joey.
We'll chat Carlton. We'll chat Buddy Franklin. We'll chat Marcus Bontempelli and plenty more straight after this.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app. And Damo, as we said, plenty happening as always. It's a day-to-day thing at the moment, but give us the latest on the COVID and the crowd situation, please.
Yeah, the crowd situation from a Victorian perspective. Again, no crowds this particular week, nor next week as well. And everything to be revisited beyond that point. But Ben, when we get to that point, that will mean there are only two rounds of footy to remain after the next 2 weeks elapse. And as such, Joey, I keep referring to a runway, and the runway gets shorter and shorter and shorter for a decision that has to be made on the grand final. Now, if we use the time frame that the AFL used last year themselves, on September 1 or September 2, they announced that the grand final, which was an October 24 date last year, was going to be moved. So that was about a 7-week runway. If you do the maths this year, it's going to be needing to be around about that 2 weeks from now, thereabouts, give or take a few weeks. I think they've got more leverage and more scope to leave it later this year because they've got used to COVID and the problems with it. But at the same time, you can't just in the week of the game determine where it's going to be. So sometime, Joey, in the next 3 weeks, I would think at the outside, they're going to have to make a decision.
Can I just ask you, Chris, so you've been on this for a long time. I know Duck keeps rolling his eyes, but as we're getting closer, he's getting serious.
My point is, Joey, you just used the perfect words. You've been on this for a long time and we're still here. And we still don't know what's going
to
happen.
Early. Better than for someone to put on the radar it's obvious.
But 6 weeks ago, we were talking about it being in Perth. Now we still don't know.
Applying your logic to any conversation, we wouldn't talk at all. We'd talk about what's just happened and not what may happen.
I would love you not to talk about where the grand final is going to be until we actually...
Well, let the adults have the conversation now between Joey and Daisy and myself.
When does it become actually an issue? When the AFL announce the grand final is going to be in Perth, then you say, now we can talk about it.
No, Joey, we talk about it when you have to talk about it. In 2 weeks' time, if Victoria's still like this and there's no crowds and you want to play in front of a crowd, then beat it up. Big story. Grand final's not going to be at the MCG. Let's not start at 2 weeks premature.
Can we mute him? Rabs, can you turn him off just for a bit while we have this conversation and then bring him back?
Came to my mind just when we talk about this now. Does the pre-finals bye become an issue? Because we're talking about clubs that are having to hub and they can't go home and they can't move back. So is there a possibility, particularly with the two Sydney teams that are in the eight at the moment, if we're having this pre-finals bye, all we're doing is prolonging these players and families and clubs being away from home longer than they need to be?
It's all been factored in, Joey, and it's a great point to raise. That has been raised as a negative by some. It's also been raised as a positive by people maybe organising it to allow the competition for a reset at that point to work out what we do. And maybe that's the time frame the AFL is using for this decision that you're asking about the grand final, to maybe use that first week leading into that bye weekend to make the actual final decision. And even where the finals could be played, I mean, we don't know what the border restrictions are going to be like, but they could be all moved to the one state, be it here, be it Perth, be it Adelaide, be it even Queensland.
There's a lot of good reasons for that bye to remain as a bye. Yep. And we saw it when the Bulldogs won. We've seen it even in the years after that. The Bulldogs don't win that flag without that bye. Simple as that.
And the fact that the Darwin Cup's on and I won't be here.
is it the Darwin Cup the weekend of the bye?
It just so happened that it's fallen on that weekend. Yeah. So
they changed it to that weekend, did they?
I'm not sure how they've changed it, but it's bloody worked out perfect for my scheduling.
It's never normally that weekend. Yeah, well,
and you're able to fly to Darwin? We're able to fly to Darwin?
We are at the minute allowed to fly to Darwin and hit run mission.
So will you ring in and do the midweek rub?
No, Dunn? I'll be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I'll be back by the Tuesday.
Okay.
Very good. Damo, the other big news that last night, the Buddy Franklin challenge was successful.
It was, Joey. I just have an issue in 2021 that it's okay in the way the systems work, match review, sending it to the tribunal throwing it out, that you can put an elbow to an opponent's head and still play the next week. I know there's been a fine attached. It happened back in round one. David Asprey did it to Lachie Plowman. Joe Danaher did it to Dane Rampey. And after that, Luke Shuey did it to Callum Mills.
Outcome, not action.
Yeah.
Should be the action. Should have to ban the action. But should have got a week.
I'm surprised it's not intentional because in all four situations that you named, there was a dead ball. So the ball wasn't in play. I think there's an element to say it was careless if you've got the ball and you're throwing your arm back while it's play on. But in all four situations, the ball was dead. It was a stop play and they've chosen to throw their arm back. So I would have thought, and I'm surprised they didn't make it intentional, which would have been much more difficult to argue, as opposed to medium impact. It was always an easy argument for Sydney to say, this isn't medium impact. It was low impact.
Yeah, because he's not knocked out.
That's right.
Got his jaw wasn't broken.
I mean, it was. I mean, you could see, Joey. Yeah. I mean, there was, and the fact that they said he was losing balance and he had to keep balance. I mean, the whole thing was a joke.
Yeah.
If that's Toby Green, does he get off?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No, the court of public opinion would be in absolutely be outraged.
Yep. But just back on the whole system, just going back to that Nick Holman tackle on Mitch Duncan, if you want confusion, the umpire on the occasion said that was a tackle worthy of a holding the ball outcome. So Holman gets a free kick. The match review looks at it and says, no, that's an illegal tackle. We're going to send that to the tribunal. Yeah. Then the tribunal says, no, it's okay, back to square one with it. So three different legislating bodies have a different view on the one incident. I know we moved away from the elbow to the head conversation that it was with Buddy Franklin. on Ryan. But at the same time, the whole system is just not working. It needs a change.
I think the more they try and make things black and white from a tribunal point of view and an umpiring point of view, I reckon the more confusing it makes it.
You
can't make things black and white because then it just leads to these scenarios. Like, there's got to be a bit more common sense.
Isn't it? It's like the holding the ball decision. We've spoken about this year after year after year after year. It has to be the action. You have to penalise the action. Doesn't matter. Even if the force is not there, penalise the action. If the action is terrible and a bad action, then doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter the outcome. Penalise that.
So starting as a weak and then it goes more. So start with a weak and then more severe depending on the outcome.
But it's got to be the action. Yeah. Otherwise, this is just going to go on and on and on and on, just like holding the ball.
Yep. You want to chat Marcus Bontempelli? You've been big on this, Damo. He's the best player in the competition without a doubt this season.
You see it that way too, do you?
I don't think anyone can question that he's the best player in the competition this year. Where he sits as a Bulldogs all-time.
All-time in my eyes, as you know. And I just go back to his second year of 2015. He placed in that year's best and fairest at that footy club. He has either won or placed every year since 2015. And, what he's doing this year, kicking goals at both ends of the game, as it has happened last week against Melbourne Duck. First quarter goal, last quarter goal. He's kicking goals.
You know what he does? He makes the ball talk. He makes it doesn't matter where it bounces or what position he's in, he's able to control it in a way that players just can't. He really does. And whether that's the basketball background, but he's a freak of a player. Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's someone that you go to the football just to watch. Yeah. Dusty had the cheat code for a while. Marcus Bontempelli right now just does those things. That right foot centre clearance down the throat of Hugel Hagen is that far above everyone else in the competition right now. It's just a treat to watch.
He has had, if you're going to have a little knock, sometimes his kicking to a lead isn't great. He sometimes kick it too hard, doesn't kick it to the space. But that's the only knock.
What he will do, we know you certainly don't rate all Australian squads. You don't even really rate if you make an all Australian team. But what he will do is he will join your club because he will be all Australian captain.
He has to.
And there's only a few that make the all Australian captain, so he'll join that illustrious club.
Well, four times.
He's got one's a start. He'll get one, and he might have a couple more up his sleeve. And the last one, Damo, that we want to chat about, the Carlton review. What's your latest understanding of the situation there?
My take on it, Joey, having made as many phone calls, I think, as you can from the outside of it looking in, is that whatever the review coughs up with the independent element to it, it will not be acted upon until after the home and away season. So I think it's a smart move. They called it around the bye period. They've been spending now a good 4 to 5 weeks already, Duck, doing it pretty intensely. It's in the final stages of it. They don't need to see anything more, I don't think. They've had enough time to see. The remaining matches aren't going to necessarily change what the review was asked to do in the first place. But importantly, I think from a 2021 perspective, Joey, I do feel that the findings of it, and that they need to be determined by the actual people reading it, not so much the people presenting it. They'll just present the findings and others can determine it and decipher it, but won't be done until post 2021.
When you say others, is it just basically Luke Sayers that'll read it and determine the actions off it, or is it?
Yeah,
Kane
Little is CEO. He's also on it as well, so he has to have an active role in it. But I would think the board would get involved as well. In fact, the board has to be shown the contents of the review that they've commissioned as a board. So,
Duck, what's your take on the Carlton situation?
Unfortunately for Teague, I think he might have lost the players, and I think you don't have efforts like you did on the weekend if the players are playing for you, and that effort after halftime was deplorable. And that really, really poor. And you could see that, you could see his frustration and his anger, but it's not that scary. And the players, I don't think the players go in at three-quarter time after playing the worst quarter of football they've played all year against the bottom side in the competition. I don't think they go in there thinking, I'm a bit fearful of the coach. And if that's the situation, then I'm not sure you can move forward. And that's unfortunate for Teague because I really like him. I was a former teammate of his. But unfortunately, the players are just not right now committing themselves for him. Therefore, he's in real strife.
So, Daisy, there's that fear factor as a coach. And then there's also the integrity of selection. And has there been a big name dropped at all this year to make a statement to the rest of the group? We're not accepting, doesn't matter how good a player you are, we're not accepting this effort. Has that happened at all this season?
Mark Murphy's probably the one that's been dropped.
Probably low-hanging fruit when he's 34 years old.
Yeah, well, he's probably the only one of note. I think there was probably opportunities throughout the season to make a statement if you were going to go down that path with Sam Doherty in the form he was in. But again, I'm not so much about dropping the captain to make a statement. I don't think that's probably the right way to go about it. I just think on the weekend, though, in terms of the fact there's a review going on of the entire footballing department, how the plan to go into that game and cover for Harry Mackay, who's the Coleman medal list and probably going to go on and win it. He's the leader of that, of course, at the minute. 95% of the traffic goes to him. If he doesn't mark it, that's where the crumbs go. That's where the forwards go. They started with Paddy Cripps out of the goal square for a quarter. That clearly didn't work. And then the next plan came in the last quarter, and it was to throw Jacob Wiedering there after Larky had kicked six on him to that point. He went on to kick seven for the game. I just don't understand how that – you sit there in match committee, you've got all these assistant coaches, you come up with the plan, and that's the best plan you can come up with.
Yeah, so that's the Teague situation. But what more responsibility lay on the players?
Well, that's everyone. That's everyone in the match committee. You sit there, and the idea is of a good match committee is to throw up different ideas, spitball, and then come up with a really good plan A, B, C, D if it's required.
The coach doesn't go and offer McGovern 800 just off the back of some ability. The coach doesn't go and offer Saad and these guys, halfback flankers, money just because, you know, They've done okay at their their former club, and they're just halfback flankers.
I mean, all of those things.
I mean, is it a whole football review or is it just football department?
Yeah, it is.
To cough up 82 points after halftime, though, is not good enough at any level of sport.
Let alone the club that's last on the ladder still.
Correct, and you're playing. If they had have won that, they still would have been, believe it or not, a game or half a game out of the eight with a dead set chance to make finals. So it was probably as poor a loss as you'll see for a very long time.
So I think we can agree there'll be plenty of change, whether it's the coach or football man, and then everything underneath it will flow. There'll be a big change at Carlton Football Club, which is probably needed. Culturally, just that club, which is Daisy. Are they in the right headspace as a club culturally to succeed?
Well, the problem at the minute is that there's always wholesale changes. Obviously, Malthouse came in and then that didn't work. And then they've gone to a new coach and then that hasn't worked. Teague was the saviour, the Teague train, everyone was on board. So whatever they do now has to be, I think, they need to, and obviously by doing a review, you're trying to do that, is to get everything right and then make the very best decision for the next 5 years. Not the interim, just so, no, this is how we're going to do it. This is the path we're on for 5 year period and we're going to stick to it no matter what.
Don't worry about these two clubs. And if Teague was to go, these two clubs looking for a coach, if you're a coach in waiting right now, beware. You've got two clubs in absolute turmoil right now. So beware. If you're a coach and you want to be a career senior coach and you're a Kingsley or a Vossi going back into
Uzay
or whoever it may be, beware because you've got two clubs in turmoil.
That's very good points. Hey, well, after this, we'll get the duck dive. We're going to chat a bit of the Kangaroos and I want to get your take on whether we're underrating and underestimating a couple of sides in the competition.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app. And before we get into the duck dive, we've got a bit of breaking news, and it's not coming from Damo. Daisy, share it with everyone,
please.
I bugged
up the reading of my email when it said, would you like to attend the Darwin Cup? We'll fly you up on the 28th of July. And I read that as the 28th of August, which is the bye week.
So the 28th of July is Monday.
Just a month out.
So I've missed by a month. And now I'm not going the Darwin Cup, which was the only thing I've been looking for two.
I was going to say, I said when you were saying, normally the Darwin Cup's not at that time of year.
Started to get my ears pricked up. I'm like, hang on a minute, that might work for me too. The bye weekend.
That's dentist.
Daisy. Yeah. Seriously, mate. That's flattened you, but it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick five.
Duck, I want to start with your old club, the Kangaroos. Earlier in the year, you were finding it hard to see the green shoots. You thought that they might struggle to win a game for the year. But how pleased are you and what are you seeing with this Kangaroos side that is impressing you the most?
Oh, there's excitement everywhere at the moment, isn't there? Hall off halfback, Taron Thomas. You've just got heaps of young talent coming through.
Larky.
Zerha Larky on the weekend was terrific. But they're just little shoots even off the back of some of those guys who have had really big performances over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But I think their competitiveness, there's only one time that I can think of in the last 8 to 10, and that was Essendon. The first time round where they got flogged. And from that point on, they've been pretty consistent. So big tick, because I had them at the start of the year. I said they wouldn't win a game and they have grown. So well done to everyone involved.
Now, I think they're making really nice progress, the Kangaroos. Still a few years away, but at least we're seeing the signs now. Next question. Asava Radigalia kicked 4 goals on the weekend for Geelong. Do you see him having a big role to play if the Cats are to win a flag?
I'm a fan.
Right.
I really am a fan. I think when he's on, he's got really, really good hands. And I just think you've just got to play him.
With Jeremy Cameron, Hawkins, and Gary Rowan already in the forward line?
I would have him as your ruckman. I'd have him as your ruckman.
Instead of Stanley?
Yep.
So it's Stanley out, Radaglia in, if Cameron's fit.
That's who I'd have.
Yeah, okay.
I'd have Radaglia ahead
of
Stanley.
What would you do, Joey?
I don't know if Radaglia's got the tank to play a full game in the ruck. We've seen it even with Marbjell Chol. They knew that he couldn't play a full game in the ruck. As soon as Nankervis came back, Chol was able to excel and kick four. It's a bit like Radaglia with having Reece Stanley. I think you can play them all. I think you can play them all and make it work. I think having the four tools, it's really three tools. Rowan's at hybrid, and you can always rotate, run and have one on the bench. You know, you can give them a spell and get them through. Oh, I think Radaglia can hold his spot and have a role to play.
He was unbelievable on the weekend for a bloke. 4 goals, 7 disposals. But the impact he had on the game itself, just by competing, purely bringing the ball, not getting beaten 2-on-1, 1-on-1, just brought it to the front.
That's what he
and
does.
And the amount of goals that then Dahlhouse got on the back of that, all their smalls, Myers getting to work because it's predictable. They know where
in
it's
his,
going.
In his short career already, when he's just started to get going, he's got a couple of injuries. He's just starting to get going again now. Yeah. So I think keep him.
And I think it works. And that means keep Blitzars in the back line. He's an All-Australian defender. I don't understand why they then bring him into the ruck for 10 minutes
a quarter.
If they
did have to make a choice, though, I'd be going him over
Stanley.
Over Reece. Reece has had way more chances than he has.
Zach, I want to ask you this, and I'm a culprit, and I think most of us in Victoria in particular, in the footy media, have probably done this. Are we underestimating the Brisbane Lions and Port Adelaide from a flag perspective? Because everything I'm hearing, it's Melbourne, Geelong Bulldogs, Sydney are the Smoky, and we seem to have all dismissed Port Adelaide and Brisbane. Are we underestimating these two sides, or do you think that we're on the track?
I think more so we're underrating Port Adelaide. I don't think Port Adelaide have had a period where they've hit top form. I think every other side has had a real form period. They've all had their little lapses. Port Adelaide haven't hit full steam ahead. They did last year, and they fell short by one kick. They've still got a couple of players to come back in. That forward line's just starting to hum, those young blokes, the big talls. You talk about three prongs. I mean, takes a bit of pressure off Dixon, and he needs the pressure taken off him because he's not a one man forward line. And then you bring Gray and who's the other one I'm thinking?
Fantasia's injured and Motlop as well.
And Motlop's another one that if they've got everyone up and going, well, Motlop's probably right on the fringe of that particular group. But I still think their best is ahead of them. So, but Brisbane, unfortunately, it rests on that forward line. And if Joe and Charlie can stand up, and then McCarthy and these guys, McCarthy's been, I think, good.
The most consistent, probably, of all of them.
Absolutely. But they do need Charlie and Joe to have a big final series if they were to cause some upsets.
I was really big on Port Adelaide last year. I was telling you and anyone who'd listened that they were the ones that to beat, and I thought they were going to go all the way. I reckon they've learned a lot from that. I think this year they're just starting to cruise along, get themselves in a position where they can have a red hot tilt. They're still a game inside the top four at the minute. I think come September, you wouldn't want to get them, and when they're up and about, like you say, because I think they're certainly trying to prime for this time, whereas last year, they peaked from round one through the entire season. They're on top for the entirety of the year, and that's just too hard of a thing to have done.
Didn't do anything wrong last year either, did they? They just didn't beat Richmond in a prelim final. Yeah, by a kick.
And the last one, we'll put it on the record now with four rounds to go before the end of the season. I know it's impossible and we'll get everyone's take, but Duck, who is going to finish in eighth spot? Because no one really at the moment wants to take their opportunity. We had the four sides that all had the chance lose. The Giants basically did a Steve Bradbury and were the only ones to win and rolled from 12th back into eighth. Who is going to finish eighth right now? And we'll have everyone's take here.
I'm prepared to stay with the Giants.
Yep.
I've got Richmond winning at least three of their last four. It's an easy draw compared with what they've had. And I think three out of the four will get it done for a team like Richmond who's already out of it. So Tigers for me.
I haven't probably done enough prep to say, but I hope it's either the Giants or the Bombers because I reckon they can have the most and do the most damage.
I think now I was pretty strong that I still thought Richmond had enough, but I'm now not convinced. I think maybe they've just tired. They've come to a run.
Checked out.
That's checked. It's just getting too hard for them this year. And I think maybe the Giants hold on as well because I think they're probably playing the best football out of all those teams outside the eight. Hey, after this, we're going to take a look at our certainties from last week. I can't believe I got sucked into this team once again. And we'll preview the weekend's footy.
This is the Midweek Rub.
A little bit of a tiny deliberatore there, Baz.
Triple M rocks footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. As always, it's been a very, very nice show. Duck's got to get a move on. He's apparently got a Zoom meeting to go to, even though
he's got the car ready.
Even though all the pubs and restaurants have reopened, but we'll pretend he's got a meeting to go to. But before we have a look at this week's footy, let's take a listen back to last week and who got there certain he's wrong.
I'm going to go with the D's to beat the Bulldogs.
Oh, good. I like you. I'm with you on that one.
I'm with the D's, by the way.
They blew that one, the D's. We all got that wrong.
Throw that bit in there.
Just quickly, has anyone jumped off Melbourne? Has anyone got, you've got real concerns about
from this? From a win and premiership perspective, yeah.
You've jumped off.
No. Yeah. I wasn't nearly on in the first place. I like what they're doing, but I just, I'm not looking at that team and there's no aspect of it that scares me as an opponent.
Look at some key ingredients and they're still going okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still pretty confident. But
you
I
have
can't
been all year.
Yeah, I still have. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I went down this path again. I can't believe it. I'll continue on the form of the Blues. Carlton to beat the Kangaroos.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe I got sucked into them. They'd started defending well. They were playing much better football. They were actually able to stop teams from scoring 100 points. And then they dished that up against Kangaroos. Never, ever again. They've cost me a slab this year, Carlton.
That can be a dozen. Actually, add another six.
Yeah, I will. I'll throw in a free six-pack for my own fault.
So let me ask you, let me kick this off for this round. So Friday night footy, Saints Blues, how they got that game is beyond me. But so who has been the bigger disappointment, Joey? The Saints or the Blues this year?
No, St Kilda for me, because I had them in the eight again. I thought they would finish seventh or eighth again, just the natural progression from last year. I didn't have Carlton in my eight this year. So for me, it's been St Kilda. But I think it's also a bit of a warning to these other sides. Sometimes sneaking into the eight, you actually think you're closer than you actually are. And sometimes it's better off missing the eight and having a bit more of a reality check. So if one of these teams that falls into eighth spot this year, I hope they don't get sucked into thinking we're not far away, because I think we've seen there is a big gap between the top six teams in the competition, and maybe you can still add West Coast and say even the seven. And then there's a big gap between these next seven teams that are all fighting for finals, and they've all spoken about finals and we're close and if we win this and if we win that. But let's be honest, they are a long way off the top six teams in the competition.
I reckon we overcook the loss in an elimination final as it being potentially detrimental to future years. You either make it or don't make it. If you make it and you win or you lose, I don't think it has any impact, Joey, on what
happens beyond
that. I
think a mentality, you think you're closer than you are, though. You've played finals. Yeah. We're just going to naturally improve. I think Melbourne did it in 2018. They made a prelim. They just presumed they would continue on. Yeah. It's a hard competition, Damo. So if you just think you're naturally going to improve
and get back to where you were,
that's not good enough, because everyone improves. You have to actually spike. So the teams from outside the eight probably are a bit more accountable and think, we've got a lot more work to do. And they probably roll up the sleeves just a tad more because they know they need to do more. I don't know.
Joey, it's also the other way. If you think back to before Richmond have had all this success, the 3 years prior to them missing the finals, they had 15 home and away wins in two of those years and just finished outside the top four and went out in straight sets, obviously losing the finals. So they weren't as far away as what people thought after missing that 1 year of finals.
It's like Melbourne last year. Melbourne actually just missed finals.
Yes.
If they had have won one of those games in Cairns where they blew two games to Sydney and Freo, they would have played finals. Mm. And you wonder whether Melbourne's psyche would have been different coming into this year if they had have played finals.
St Kilda are still only half a game out
of the
eight.
Don't do it. See, that's the point. They shouldn't be talking about finals, St Kilda. They should be playing about...
But if they make the finals, you'll still stick to they've been a bigger disappointment than the Blues? Because they're still a relative... Like, the Blues can't essentially make finals.
Yes, because I think eighth spot this year is just basically someone's got to fall into eighth spot.
In actual fact, that's exactly what they're all doing, falling into it.
Yep.
They're losing games that you expect them to win.
Yep.
No one wants it.
So whoever finishes eighth is going to play either Brisbane or Port Adelaide, maybe Melbourne might
be Sydney. Sydney.
Or Sydney. Can you see any of them
or
beating
West
them
Coast?
Away from home in a first final?
No.
So you've got a certainty though, Duck?
Yes, I have.
Would you like to share it in the segment that is our certainties?
My certainty will be I'm going to go the Swans.
It's not that easy.
I'm going to go the Swans over the Bombers.
Okay. The Swans over the Bombers.
Okay. Yep.
God, I like it. You're loving the Swans?
Yeah,
I'm more impressed?
Yeah, I really am. They've just got it. And the fact that Buddy got off as well helps. But they've got X Factor.
They're tough too, aren't they?
Heaney's on fire. Parker was great. Kennedy's getting somewhere, back to somewhere near his absolute best. They're very good. Very good.
Damo, you can go.
I'm going to jump onto the Tigers beating the Dockers in the last game of the round. Yeah, I'm convinced they're going to still win enough home and away matches to make that eighth spot that we just spoke about. And I am factoring
five,
in a win.
Fife is out.
Fife's out as well. And Alex Pearce, probably their three most important players.
So I just think they'll start that role.
By the way, Buddy was the one that landed on Pearce.
The tackle late.
and land drove him into the ground as well. He's getting a bit of a habit, buddy, of just falling heavily on
Shane Mumford style of clumsy
105 kilos or whatever he is. Yeah,
I'm going to go with the Magpies, Joey. An upset at the G against the Eagles.
That's a big
really?
Call.
Yeah. All right. I like it, Daisy.
A lot of players back in.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I like it.
And I'm going to take, I need to get some confidence back. I'll take the Demons to beat the Gold Coast Suns, but I want this on the record. Ben Brown has got a bag of five in him before the final series. He's playing better than he's getting credit for. He had five shots at goal in those conditions. He's taking marks inside 50. I think he's moving all right. And I think Ben Brown at some stage, it might be this week, but certainly before the finals, he'll kick a bag of four or five goals.
How many Joe the Gooses will be in that five?
Ah, six. See, there's always the cynics.
Can I just
always a negative duck.
I daydreamed just before. Who did you Magpies Eagles? Is that who did you take?
Have a
Magpies.
Side bet, duck.
You took the Magpies.
Have a side bet.
Oh, come on, Daisy. You fluke one for the year. and now you're trying to fluke two.
Very good.
Side bet?
Hey?
Side bet for Carton.
All right.
Yeah, ooh, good, it's on. Hey, don't forget you can listen to every game across this round on Triple M and the listener app, starting with Friday night's clash, the big blockbuster on a Friday night, Duck. St Kilda and
can't
the Blues.
Wait for that one.
Howie, Brownie, Chief, Daisy and
Daisy's
Damo.
There. Go,
looking
Dave.
Forward to it. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.